Welcome to DSC's Campfires with Larry Wysoon. The unique blend of hunting, conservation, and the outdoor lifestyle delivered in an entertaining, informative fashion that only a veteran outdoorsman can do. DSC Campfires is brought to you by DSC, the Dallas Safari Club, conservation, education, and hunter advocacy. Hornady, accurate, deadly, dependable. Trigicon, brilliant aiming solutions. Ruger, rugged, reliable firearms. Burnham Brothers Game Calls, the callingest call made. Double Nickel Taxidermy, where hunting memories are preserved. Now here's your host, Larry Wysoon.
Going to change things up this day. We are actually fishing with Gar Fishing Addiction Guide Service, Luke Clayton and I, with Chris Moody. And for those of y'all who have ever watched River Monsters and a few other things, you'll know about Chris because Chris catches some of the biggest gars are to be found anywhere in North America. But this morning, Chris, you kind of changed us up a little bit to where we're fishing crappies, right?
Yes, sir. During my slower times of the year and sometimes in the spring, I guide for catfish and crappie and stuff like that. And, crappie just happened to be one of my favorite fish to catch, regardless of what time of year. Every time I've got a spare moment, whether it's winter, summer, spring, that's what I'm chasing is crappie myself. Now, I like to fish for everything, of course, but crappie are my favorite fish to target.
What about eating them?
Oh, man, they don't get any better. That's for sure. They are probably one of the best freshwater fish that you can eat. There is, and I can't find it. I hadn't talked to a single person that said they don't like crappie.
Well, what have we done? Because here we're in a situation, we're fishing a little creek off of a lake that you fish periodically, but what are these crappie doing right now?
Right now, a lot of these crappie, they're coming in this creek staging, getting ready to spawn, and, they're all... There's white crappie and black crappie in here right now. The water temperature's done got to where both of them, they both spawned at a little bit different temperature, but right now they're both in this creek. And they haven't spawned out, of course, because a lot of the fish we're catching still have a bunch of eggs in them, So it's just a matter of time, but right now they're staging and they're just going to get thicker and thicker by the minute in here. I just had to pull one in, or the drag slip.
That's what this is all about, was to do it in a real kind of situation.
But,
and you did. You caught an absolutely fantastic crappie. Now, that's a white crappie that you're catching.
Yes, sir. There's white crappie and black crappie in here, both. And the males will turn, of both species, will turn a real pretty black color when they get up in here and sit on the nest to guard the eggs. And a lot of people... you hear it across the country, they'll say that, well, they've got their tuxedos on, and that's exactly what they're doing, is getting in here during the spawn, finding them a girlfriend, and making future generations of crappie.
And that one wants to get back in the water, I think, but
right.
He's destined for the frying pan as far as I'm concerned, or the grill, one of the two.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned white crappie and black crappie. For the person that doesn't get an opportunity to fish for them very often, how do you tell the difference between two?
Well, the easiest way, most of the time, depending on the water clarity they come out of, is just a white crappie will have some vertical bars on its side. And normally, depending if they come out of most water they come out of, you're able to see that bar pretty plainly, where black crappie will sort of have a broken, spotted pattern, on their side.
Right.
But that's usually the easiest way. And then occasionally we'll catch, in this part of the, I guess it was last week, I had a client catch one, what's called like a black nose. They're referred by several different things, black nose crappie or magnolia crappie, just several different things. Now, I don't know, but I've always heard that they were actually a cross between the two. That's...
Could be, yeah.
And they actually have a black stripe that runs down the top of their face, all across their, just straight down their back. Even some people, I've heard them refer to them as racers, because the racing stripe
right
down their back. But they've got a lot of different nicknames, just depending on where you're at and where you're fishing.
Now, we're fishing with jigs.
Right, yes, sir.
And not only are these are jigs that you yourself tie.
Right, yes, sir. These are all hand-tied jigs in various weights. Most of them are 1/8 ounce and even a few 1/4 ounce jigs. And, you know, I fish plastics occasionally too, but I love to use plastics. I mean, excuse me, hand ties.
Hand ties.
I just, you know, there's nothing better, you know, especially if you're a sportsman or outdoorsman, is tying your own jig and then catching fish on it. You know, just knowing that you tricked that fish with something you made.
You're exactly right. I love rattling up whitetails, and to me, I don't tie my own whitetail antlers.
Right.
But to me, that man, it just adds something special. Kind of like calling predators too. I love calling with a
right.
mouth call, and that's kind of, to me, it's maybe a little bit of a purist type of thing. But you know, one of the things I've noticed here, we're fishing close to the bank. We're fishing a little creek that you call relatively shallow too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. This creek varies anywhere from a couple of feet. I think about the maximum depth in here right now is around 14. feet, and that's what those crappie like. They like grass, vegetation, tree branches, limbs hanging in the water, brush tops, and that's what they'll get in there and lay their eggs on.
Now we're right at the spawn. This is what, the latter part of March right now?
Yes,
that we're
sir.
Looking at?
And these crappie have been in this creek for about 2 weeks now, and they'll probably be in here somewhere around another month before they move back out and get done. And then, of course, they're like any other thing, just like deer, you know, a few of them will come into rut early and late,
right.
And fish are the same way. You'll have waves of fish that come in here and spawn in various time frames, you know. But for the most part, you know, those months, like from, say, mid-March through May, or April, even into May, you'll still have some crappie spawning.
Exactly. Now, you're using a fishing rig that, to me, reminds me a whole lot of a fly rod in terms of the length. So.
Right. Yes, sir. I'm using a 10-foot. I mean, some guys even use 12 and even 13-foot rods. These are 10-foot ACC crappie sticks. And they allow you, know, to be able to just, basically, when you're sitting in a brush top or whatever, to be able to reach in a pretty good area with that rod, you know, all the way around you, and drop that jig into several different locations to try to get a bite.
Now, let's go back to the jigs a little bit. You tied numerous color patterns, right?
Right, yeah, and your color patterns vary, you know, depending on the water you're fishing in, stained water versus clear water. And then plus there's several patterns that are just favorites just by fishermen in general, you know. Of course, back years and years ago, you know, when you bought crappie jigs, you either had yellow or you had white, you know.
Exactly. And that's what I remember about
right?
crappie jigs from way back.
But
when.
Now, you know, I mean, with most guys that do hand ties that tie their own jigs, it's endless on the amount of color combinations from the all the jig heads nowadays. 90% of the people that tie their own jigs use powder coat paint. You know, all the heads
yes,
are powder coated, and so it's more durable, and there's just a rainbow of colors of powder, plus people mix their own custom colors and add different features, and there's all kinds of tricks you can use to make the jig head certain color patterns, swirl patterns, and spot, you know. And a lot of it, honestly, probably is just to catch the fishermen more than the fish, but crappie are one of the fish that definitely color does matter. I mean, I've seen it.
I'll
where
be
you
darn,
could
yes, sir.
You could drop a jig in there and not get a bite, and then change colors, and then all of a sudden go to catching fish. And then that's just the way, the nature of a crappie.
This has been so much fun as far as fishing. I've fished for crappie a time or two in the past, and some up this part of the country with my old buddy Jim Zumbo having beat Rick Lambert, Miranda's dad, and the three of us kick around and wherever we get an opportunity. And we fished for crappie up here in the past, and I'll be frank with you, the crappie that we caught that we were the proudest of, because they were the biggest, those are the smallest that we have in our bag right now.
Yes, sir.
It's absolutely amazing the size of the crappie that you catch here.
Yes, sir. This lake is really a good producer of real nice heavyweight crappie. I mean, it's not as well known as some of the other lakes like Fork and Lake of the Pines as far as crappie populations and size, but I like it that way. It's a
absolutely
hidden hot spot for me, and you know, I always, usually when the bite gets real good, I'm able to put my clients on fish.
What about time of day fishing? Does it make a whole lot of difference when you fish time of day?
Normally this time of year, no. I mean, you know, these fish, they may adjust, move a little deeper, or get under a brush or shade to adjust for the sunlight. But crappie, normally, like, if they're not spawning, now it can, you know, mornings and afternoons are usually your best. But crappie like shade. Even if you're fishing in deep water in timber, they're going to usually be on the shaded side of,
really?
That, of that timber, even under the water. They like to get in there and hide under docks or under logs and stuff like that.
And they are producers, aren't they? I mean, I have no idea how many eggs one female lay, but I mean, just with what we're catching here in this area and seeing on the scope that you're using, there's an unbelievable number of crappie in this area. So there's got to be a tremendous crappie fisheries here.
Oh, yes, sir. The crappie are prolific spawners. They spawn just like I would compare them sort of almost like white bass. They spawn by the millions in shallow water and backwater. And because of the type of water crappie spawn in, a lot of it's, you know, unreachable by most people, you know, boats or by boat. They can go back way back in sloughs and get in water just literally inches deep, and they'll spawn and lay their eggs and then return to the lake. And all those eggs and stuff are virtually, those fish are untouched by people. And you know, that I think that's what helps them just be so prolific and populate most reservoirs and lakes, is because of the way that they reproduce in the waters they reproduce in. You know, most lakes in Texas, crappie aren't stocked at all, if very little, if any.
I'll tell you what, let's just take a little break. It looks like you're anxious to go try another spot, and we'll come back and visit some more here in just a little bit.
All right, yes, sir. It sounds good.
Back at the dock, if you will, or the cleaning station. And, Chris, we caught a full limit, three people, full limit of crappie that were just absolutely fantastic. And I think he knows how to clean fish, Luke Layton.
He does, for a fact, I tell you. It wasn't Mr. Chris's first rodeo. And the pile of fillets, man, that's going to make so many good meals right there.
Well, that crappie is just outstanding fish to be eating anyway. Now, Chris, when we were out there, you were talking about a different recipe where you scaled the crappie.
Yes, sir. I like it's actually one of my favorite, probably my favorite way of cooking them. And what I do, I just scale the crappie whole, cut the head off and gut it, of course, and then I'll score it on each side crossways.
Yes, sir.
And then after that, then I put garlic powder, onion powder, salt, and pepper, and I apply a liberal amount of that on there, you know, quite heavily, to be honest. And then I cook it on a pellet smoker, and I'll put that pellet smoker on about 225, and I'll cook it about 30 minutes, and it's pretty much done at that point. And then I'll turn it up to about 350 and cook it another 10 minutes or so, 15 maybe, to brown it off and get it good, nice, and golden brown. And then I'll put a little butter on one side, let it melt in it, and then flip it over, put it in another on the other side, and let it melt through it real good. And man, it's some of the best eating you can ever have for as fish. And I love fried fish myself, but I tell you, that crappie prepared that way is absolutely delicious.
Chris, do you put the fish right on the grill, or do you put them on foil?
I use actually a basket, you know, one of those clamshell type baskets. You can put the fish in. That holds them together and keeps them from, you know, coming apart, because they're pretty tender when you cook them for on that low temperature, you know. And the reason why I cook them slow is just to give them time to get a little bit of smoke flavor from that from that grill.
That good smoke adds a lot to it.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. I was listening here thinking, oh, my God, oh, my God. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
They making really me hungry. Luke, you like to fry them?
Oh, yeah. It's hard to beat fried any kind of fish. You know, rather than just fry them, I'll always put them in a Ziploc bag, put a little Louisiana hot sauce. Not the hottest of hot sauce, but I like to use Louisiana hot sauce or Evangeline, one of the cheaper brands, but it's not quite as hot. And put a little buttermilk in there with that Louisiana hot sauce, and you won't go wrong. But, you know, another way is kind of an altered way of blackening that I learned up in Saskatchewan a couple years ago on walleye. But you can use any kind of fish, and instead of getting your skillet white hot, you know, like you're supposed to, like Paul Proudhon taught everybody to do with the redfish, you know, get it hot, put butter in there or olive oil, get it hot, put your fillets, you want to fillet the fish for this, and just put a good blackening seasoning on it and then slap that seasoned side down, and then while it's cooking, heating in that oil or butter, go ahead and season that other side so you don't waste a bunch of your seasoning. But that's a really good way to eat it, and then squeeze you a little lemon on that, man, when you get it done.
Oh, yes, sir.
it'll make a quick shore lunch there, you know. Yeah.
Well, the fishing out here, obviously, you know where to go. I mean, I'm totally impressed, Chris, early on, because the entire process of it, with you doing your own jigs, that to me means so much. I'll tell you what, you doing that. I was really impressed with not only the size of the fish, but the jigs and your knowledge of the properties we fish. Now, where I remember you from is from, I think it's River Monsters?
Yes, sir. I've been actually guiding for Alligator Gar way before River Monsters or any of that.
Absolutely,
came
right.
about. And once River Monsters was filmed, then it just made gar fishing popularity explode, you know, across the United States and actually the world. You know, I've been guiding probably about 17 years for Alligator Gar, you know, one of the original Alligator Gar guides on Rod and Reel.
Yes, sir.
And, like I said, it's gotten so popular. I mean, I have clients fly in from all over the world, Russia, China, Japan, the UK, Sweden, Brazil, India. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's amazing. But I have a lot of people come even, you know, from all across the United States and Texas as well. And it's just, you know, it allows somebody to catch a big, huge fish in fresh water. And especially like the local people, you know, that live around Texas and stuff like that, you know, they can drive a couple hours and come catch a fish that weighs possibly 200 plus pounds on rod and reel. And, you know, you can't do that unless you go offshore or
shark fishing.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You're right. Well, I want to come back before we totally part company. I need to get some dates from you because I want to bring a daughter of mine and she and I do see if we can catch a gar. That's one thing I've tried to do several times, several places. I fished down in deep South Texas in some of those. There's a huge drainage ditch that runs off the coast all the way into, and I've hooked some big ones, but I never have caught a big one. So,
you know, Larry, this is a good time for me to learn a little something too. I fish for gar amateurishly. And the biggest gar I've ever caught might have weighed 25 pounds, you know, to be honest. But here's what I learned, Chris, and maybe you can help me and some of the folks listening would learn, too. Live perch is what I used. I used live perch, and this is some, like Oxbow Lakes off the Trinity. Some buddy of mine's got some 200-300-acre lakes, big old lakes. They get stocked with gar. But I'd put a floater, a weighted cork, I call it, and make a long cast and then just roll it and stop, roll it. And then here's what would happen. And I bet you can relate. That cork would go under and it might stay under for 30 seconds and you're in free spool and it may pop up over there 60 yards some direction. You don't know where. If you set that, I could not stick those gar until let them come back up. And then when they'd go back, sometimes I could get the hook stuck.
Right, yes, sir. Gar, they're very peculiar fish, even for their size. I mean, you take a fish that weighs 150 pounds, you would think he would just take another fish and just shred it to pieces. But a lot of times when they attack their prey, of course, because they're a predator fish, they'll catch a fish in the water, and they might swim around with that fish in their mouth for 10 or 15 minutes, and they make no attempt to eat it at all. Well, they do the same thing with cut baits and stuff that we fish with on the river. A fish will come in there, pick the bait up, maybe go down river sometimes 100 yards or more, 200 yards, and if you try to set the hook on that initial run, you're just going, most of the time, he's just going to let go, or you're going to hook him for a split second, and he's going to spit it out.
That's what I found, yeah.
You know, they're like I say, they're a peculiar fish. You would think that they would just come in there and swallow it and eat it, but they don't do that. And even I've seen some in captivity, and they're the same way. When they get a piece of food or something, they'll swim around with it a little while before they decide to eat it. It's really odd feature that they have.
Hooks for these monster big gar, what kind of hooks do you use, Chris?
I use just it's a rather small hook for the size of the fish. I'm using a little 3-aught treble hook, and it's just a bronze-coated steel hook. That way, for some reason, if the fish is hook deep, we can cut the leader, and the hook will rust out totally fine. I've tagged, in the last 2 years, almost 600 alligator gar for Texas Park and Wildlife, and You know, a lot of the fish we get the hooks out of, and if we don't, we leave it in, and I catch a lot of the fish. I've caught some of the fish that I've caught already within the last 2 years, some of them two and three times since they were initially tagged.
That hook will rust out.
Yes, sir.
Interesting. Now, you're fishing primarily for alligator gar, right? Do you occasionally run, like, into the long-nosed gars or
any
of those?
Yes, we'll catch a long-nosed gar or a big flathead or a big blue cat on that fresh-cut bait, you know, in the river there.
Is there a time that you encourage people to come fish for gar as opposed to other times of the year?
I start fishing in March of every year, and I'll usually fish through October, sometimes November, just depending on the weather we're having. So normally there are warm water fish, and those are the dates that I try to fish in during those months. And then I supplement, you know, my guide service, fish for catfish, crappie, and sand bass and stuff like that during the cooler months. But now I run a trip back in February during the winter. I had some clients from Maine that they just basically insisted on trying to catch one, and
right.
I said, well, we'll go make an attempt. And we just happened to catch a beautiful day for winter time, and we had temperatures here in Texas around 70 that day, and we ended up catching a fish that was close to 175 pounds.
Oh, my gracious.
During the dead of winter.
Seeing the picture of that.
Boated three fish. That fish was 7'6" and around 175 pounds.
That's a big fish.
Oh, yes, sir.
That's a big fish. How long, when you hook them, how long is it, when you finally set the hook, let me put it like that, when you finally set the hook, how long will it take sometime to bring those fish in?
It varies depending on the water temperature on these fish and the time of year, anywhere from 5 to 15 to 20 minutes. During the summer, they fatigue out quicker because the water is warm in the river. But even if the fight is limited to, you know, 5-10 minutes, during that time, you have all you can handle. I mean, I'm using big, heavy saltwater tackle with the drags cranked down tight, you know, 130-pound braid. And I've had people nearly get drugged completely out of the boat.
I can imagine.
Yes,
sir. I can absolutely imagine. I've caught one or two good-sized catfish, you know, that are 70-pound approaching thing. And I remember by the time I finally got them up to the boat and where I could get a photograph of them, I was sure glad they were in the boat.
You
know, I was glad that fight was finished the day kind of thing. Chris, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, what is the best way? I know you got websites, and I know that you also have a tendency, because of the great guide that you are, you have a tendency to book up sometime months in advance, too. So people need to take that in consideration if they want to come. But what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Well, I've got, like you mentioned earlier, I have two websites. One is garfishingaddiction.com, and the other is texasfishingaddiction.com. And then I also have Facebook pages and Instagrams for both of them. And then my cell phone number, I don't mind if somebody calls me or texts me on that, is 903-780-4662. And they can just give me a call if they'd like to book. And like I say, on the gar trips, because I've been doing it so long, you know, I'm pretty established and I have a lot of return clients and word of mouth and stuff like that. I mean, here it is. It's fixing to be the 1st of April, and I'm already, you know, all my weekend dates are almost gone, and June's completely gone, and May's almost completely gone, too, as well. So it's better, you know, if somebody wants prime dates, to book several months in advance.
Absolutely perfect. Well, like I say, once we get back, I'm going to get dates that you have open, and I'll send
all
you
right
a deposit to get over here, because I really do want to catch one of those big gar. I know he knows how to fish, Luke. I saw he put me on the biggest white crappie I've ever caught, and by far the biggest black crappie I've ever caught.
Yeah,
so
I've said it before, I'll say it again. Best crappie trip I fished. I'm no pro crappie fisherman, but I fished for them a lot through the years with guys that are pros. This was one awesome day fishing. And how pleasant was it back in these creeks?
You
know,
absolutely.
We were back in some areas that, as I used to say when I was growing up in the country, they have to pump daylight into us. We were so far back in.
I enjoyed it as well. I appreciate you guys coming and fishing with me.
This
really
has been
a good time.
Such a great pleasure. Like I said, I've been wanting to meet you for years, so finally got that done. I can't wait now to come back and fish for gar with you.
All right.
Thank you so very much. And y'all join us right here next week on DSC's Campfires. Appreciate y'all being with us.
DSC's Campfires with Larry Wysoon has also been brought to you by Texas Wildlife Association, working for tomorrow's wildlife today. Texas-raised hunting products, the Scent Gods, can attract boots for the trails less traveled. Boyt, the finest in hunting gear. Pyramid Air for all things air gun. And Ripcord Rescue Travel Protection.